my dear Redeemer,
no more to die. Oh yes, I will be living in glory by. If you believe it, say yes.
I will be living
in glory
by and by.
Oh, I'm gonna tell it. I'm gonna sing love story
there on high,
with my dear Redeemer. No more to die. Oh yes, I live. I'll be living in glory by and by.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see everyone. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we hope that you've had a great week this past week. But if you didn't, today is the first day of the week. So we start a new week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is still good, and we thank him for blessing us. If you're visiting with us, you are our honored guest. Thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. Kind of seems like, feels like we're sort of kind of getting back to normal. I know we're not for many of us. Some of us were fine in the first place. God has been good, hasn't he? If you got to stay in your house and none of your furniture got wet and your clothes didn't get wet, you need to say praise the Lord. Yeah. We know that everybody, we still alive, we're blessed, but you know, it's uncomfortable not being in your own environment. And so let's continue to pray. Many in our congregation have been affected. Some you know about, some you don't know about. And just pray that God will bless us to just be thankful for what we have and just do as well as we can with what we have and be able to bless others also. I want to go right into my lesson this morning. I want you to meet me in the book of Luke, chapter 9. You want to give it a title. Our theme for the year is what? Making disciples and making a difference. And we are in discipleship training for those that are already disciples, and we hope that there are some who want to become disciples, which means learners, pupils of Christ. And those of us that have proclaimed that we want to be disciples, we are continually learning. Continually trying to be better students for the Lord. Amen? Amen. So that means that we have to continue to learn and continue to allow God to use us. And today we're in the midst of discipleship training by the Master himself. And I'll go to the book of Luke chapter 9. And we're going to begin. Well, let me give you just a little background. In verse 10, Jesus is in the midst of his ministry, in the very midst. His 12 apostles, who initially he gave the most intimate training, because he gave them a commission to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. And so I've entitled this lesson, Do Something. Do Something. And it's discipleship training. And Jesus, and we're in chapter 9, but in chapter 8, see, Jesus didn't tell people to do something that he wouldn't do himself. And he believed in giving on-the-job training. And so he taught much. He taught much. And even in chapter 8, he taught in parables. And then he performed these great miracles. He healed this man who was possessed with a legion of demons and cast those demons into swine, and the swine went over. And guess who was with him when he did it? His disciples were there. They saw it, and he healed this man, came to him and said, my daughter, she's 12 years old, and she's very sick, and I need you to come to my house. And Jesus, before he could get to the house, the girl died. But the disciples saw Jesus raised, he healed this girl, and she came. He said, no, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And they actually saw that. And while he was on the way, this woman in this big crowd who followed Jesus because of his miracles, she touched the hem of his garment. And he healed her of 12 years of hemorrhage. Jesus and his disciples saw it all. And I wonder what they were thinking when they saw Jesus do all of this stuff. I tell you what I'd say. I don't know what they were thinking, but I know what I would be thinking if I'm following this man. He got it. You know where I said somebody got it going on? He got it going on. Sure enough, got it going on. I want to be close. I want to find out everything about this Jesus. And then we get to chapter 9 in Luke chapter 9, and Jesus, he says, now it's time for you to go to work. It's time for you to go to work. And listen to verse number 1 in chapter 9. Verse number 1, I'm getting down to verse 10. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. First of all, Jesus showed them. And they listened to Jesus' teaching. And they saw what he did. And he said, now it's time for you to do the same thing. And he commissions us to do the same thing. Now, he told them also in some other gospel accounts, he says, freely I give this to you. Freely you received and freely you give. And some of us need to learn some lessons from that. Some of us act like we got to be paid for everything we do for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, it's not that the servants of God cannot be paid, but these are special gifts. And that's why you see this stuff on television, and it's kind of died down, it seems like, a little bit, because it seems like folk have more sense than to believe all this stuff. These guys that make millions of dollars, so-called healing folk, but you send me a donation and I'll heal you. Yeah, but Jesus gave them this commission. And then we see Jesus, they come back and give Jesus a report. And go to verse number 10, Luke chapter 9, verse 10. And I actually want to read two gospel accounts of this same story in the Bible many of us are familiar with. When the apostles returned, they returned to Jesus after they had been out and performing these miracles, and they're excited and telling Jesus all that they were able to do by the power that Jesus had given them. They gave an account of him, all that they had done. And taking them with him, he withdrew himself to a city called Bethsaida. So they told Jesus, this is what happened. I was here and I was there and we healed people. And, oh, Jesus, oh. And they were excited about what they'd done. But they were also, you could tell they were tired. Let's go to Mark's account. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Mark 6, 30. The apostles gathered together with Jesus. And they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. And so that's Mark's account. And so they get, both accounts give a few little details. And so as we exegete this passage, I want you to pay close attention to all the details. And Jesus commissions the disciples to work. Obviously, they had been working hard. And he wants them to get away from everybody and to go to a secluded place. Jesus had to do that himself. You know, and that says something to us that sometimes we need to rest, but you don't get to rest if you haven't done nothing. Amen. Amen. Why do you need to rest if you haven't done nothing anyway? Amen. And so in both instances, we see that Jesus, he said, one at a time, okay, you've done a great job. You've done a wonderful job. Now let's go and rest for a minute. Now go back to Luke's account. Now they went to a city called Bethsaida, and Mark doesn't give the name of the city. He says a secluded place, and Bethsaida is also the place where Philip, one of the apostles, and Andrew and Peter were from. It was their hometown, but part of it was desolate. Part of it was a desert place, and he even mentions this in the text. According to John chapter 1, verse 44, Philip and Andrew and Peter were from Bethsaida. Go to verse number 11. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him. Underline the word crowds. The crowds were aware. Why were they aware? Because if all of these miracles that the apostles were performing, Jesus was performing, and he was teaching the people about the kingdom of God, then news spread over, all over, and everybody wanted to hear what they see and be healed. And so they followed Jesus. So, you know, they couldn't get away. And Jesus is in Galilee, in the surrounding areas, and most of the transportation was by foot. Much they traveled by boat. But these people wanted to see, and they wanted to be healed. And in today's world, there are a lot of sick people. There are a lot of people who are still yearning for a better. Sometimes I hear some people, well, but Gary, everybody has heard about Jesus. Everybody has not experienced Jesus. There are a lot of individuals that see preachers on the television and hear sermons at funerals, but many individuals still have not experienced the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel and the power of the kingdom. Back in this day, these people followed them. They couldn't even get away. And I would have been in that crowd. Man, you heard what the apostles did? Yeah, and my auntie is sick, and my daughter is sick, my brother is sick, and I'm sick. I'm finding them. And that's exactly what they did. The scriptures would say they were aware, and notice this, but the crowds were aware of this and followed him, and welcoming them, who's welcoming them? Jesus is welcoming them. Now, the apostles had been out. Jesus trying to get them some rest. But also, when Jesus saw the people, he welcomed the people. And now, this is discipleship training. He is giving them on-the-job training, but Jesus grasps opportunities. He didn't shy away from opportunities. I'm just trying to get the mindset of Christ to show what mindset we ought to always have when it comes to people who need help, who need physical help, and most of them don't know, but they need the spiritual help more than they need the physical help. And Jesus is aware of the urgency, of the need, and of the opportunities that present themselves, because they don't all time present themselves. Go to Mark's account, Mark's account. Mark says this in verse 31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. The apostles hadn't had time to eat, and many of the people were so intrigued and so wanted to see them that many of them did not eat. Listen to verse 32. They went away in a boat in a secluded place by themselves. That would be Bethsaida. If you looked on the map, I don't know, Junior, if you had a map is it up there? Okay. Of the Sea of Galilee? Okay, it's not up there yet. It's coming. It's coming. I don't have a pointer. Well, there it is. Okay, I don't have a pointer. Oh, I didn't bring one. Bethsaida. Can you see it up by Galantis, the top? Some of you don't have your glasses. You won't be able to see that because I'm this close and I barely can see it. You see Galilee in green. You see the Sea of Galilee, the little blue sea. This area go. Thank you. Who is that? Bless you. Lord said, go up some more. Go up some, right? Go come down some more. You see, you can't see either. Yeah. That's the Sea of Galilee, and Bethsaida is right there to the right. Right up, right there, right there. Oh, you got some shaky hands, don't you? Yeah, that's below, yeah, but Bethsaida's right there. And so the Jesus and the apostles got in a boat in the Sea of Galilee, travel over to Bethsaida, and they were traveling there to get rest. But people, individuals, you see, they could actually walk. Some of them may have gotten on boats. Mark's account would say that they went ahead of the, they went ahead and waited. It's like they knew where they were going. They walked to the northern border and went to Bethsaida and waited on Jesus. But they wanted something, didn't they? Yeah, they wanted to be healed. They wanted whatever the apostles had, and they were willing to follow them everywhere they went. Go back to the text in Luke. Go back to Luke's account. He welcomed them, and he began, notice this, Jesus began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. So they were coming there. Now, what do you think they were really coming there for? Probably to be healed. John chapter 3 would say that they followed him because of his miracles. And you can be naive if you want to. It's like, you know, you can invite people to come to worship. You can invite your neighbors, your friends. Listen, come go to worship with me. And they will tell you no 100 times. But if you told your neighbors that I want you to come go to worship with me today, because today our preacher has the power to heal, and he's going to be laying, your mother is sick, you sick, and I'm telling you, girl, listen, I've seen it. He's done it. You know my child was sick, and he's done it. He's here. I'm just come go with me. Just come. You got to see this. Now, today's time, many might not believe you, but some will. And some, they're not coming to hear me preach. They're coming because they want me to heal somebody. Brooke, you sure it works out? Benny Hinn has been making millions doing that. And those millions, yes, they will listen to a word, but they really want some healing. Now, that was Jesus's method when he started his ministry. He performed miracles and healings to confirm his word. Now, the people needed the teaching more than they needed the healing, but a lot of individuals will not pay attention to any teaching until something impresses them to the point that they can open their ears. Listen now. And Jesus, when they came, Jesus started teaching them. He knew what they wanted. But he wanted to make sure they knew where the power was coming from. Amen? And those of us that are Christians, there is still power in the Word of God. Those of us that are saints, that are disciples, now don't get it mixed up. The power comes from God. Although people want to see the material things, but the power comes from God. But also don't be naive. If there's power in the word, there needs to be a demonstration of the power. That's why the Bible says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see." It's talking about, notice this, they may witness, they may see your good works and glorify God. And because the power is in the word. Notice this now. Go back to the text. Well, Gary, I thought this was about feeding the 5,000. That's what the brother read in the text. We're getting there. Mark's account. Verse 33. The people saw them going. Many recognized them, the apostles, and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. Verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion, same as Luke's account, for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. One of the qualities that all disciples need, notice this, and must have for people is compassion. If you don't have, if you just so impatient and you don't see people's needs, we got a lot of growing to do. It was a major quality that Jesus had. Even when Jesus was tired, even knowing that the disciples were tired, yes, we're going to rest, but the urgency of the need surpasses my own feelings right now. And this is when it takes some real growing. This is when it takes some real growing, because after all, we say all the time, I'm tired, and I'm just tired, and I just got to rest, and I'm just, woo-wee, boy, it's been a long, and it's just, I'm just tired. And some of us say it too much, so much. And then you really look back and think about what you really have done today. Well, you got up, you eat, you put on your clothes, you drove wherever you were going, and you, whether it's work, whether it's here at the church, but you know what I find out? Sometimes I'm so tired. I am. I really think I'm tired. But I'll get home, and a TV show or something will come on that I'm interested in, and I perk up. And I watch it and look up, and 3 hours later, I'm still watching it. And was I really that tired? And I'm just talking out loud. I want you to see something now. And we're all human. Jesus still felt compassion because the need was so urgent. These folk were we want more. Go back to Luke's text. Luke chapter 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. Now the day was ending. It was getting close to the end of the day. The 12 came to him and said, notice the pupils and notice the student, notice the master teacher. Send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For we are here in a desolate place. That's a deserted place. And Bethsaida was a city. It was a town, but it had land that was nothing on it. And all of these people, we know there were at least 5,000 men when we get a little bit further. So you're talking about in here, this building seats 1,000. Multiply this times five. So there are 5,000 plus people, probably more like 8,000, including women and children. And they're following Jesus. Oh, this big crowd. And they've been the apostles, they come to Jesus. Let's go to a secluded place. We go there. All these people are there. Some people are following them. And Jesus starts. Now, notice this. You know how we are. The apostles are not saying nothing now. Jesus is doing the teaching. And I imagine they were listening. But also, they are tired. But they're listening to Jesus. And you know how we are when somebody long-winded teaching. And while he's teaching, the people are on the edge of their seats. The people are engrossed in what Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And it seems like, in my reading and understanding of the text, the disciples almost, well, Jesus, it's getting late. Don't you think it's time? All these people, Jesus, we need to send them home. Do you think they were that concerned about the people, or do you think they were just tired themselves? I'm just asking a question. Do you think that they were concerned that they get something to eat, or do you think they were saying in their mind, Lord, you know what? We've been all day long. I'm tired. I need to rest. I'm tired. I don't know if that's what they're thinking. I know maybe that would have been me, but like, okay, now look here, and this, goodness gracious, Jesus, I like that sermon, but any time to go? Listen, the master, and everything Jesus did, he knew why he was doing what he was doing. He knew why he was doing it, and you got all of these people that are coming here. See, listen. One of the points I know we need to understand and learn from the master teacher is when there is a great opportunity that's presented, we need to take advantage of the opportunity while it's there. Yeah, He saw the crowds, and you know, it's hard to get a crowd together in many instances. And when you're reading the text, look at it now. Go to Luke's account. We read Mark's account. And listen. But he said, verse 13, Luke chapter 10. But he said, listen, and find lodging and something to eat, for we're in a desolate place. But this was Jesus' response. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. That's why I titled this lesson, Do Something. Notice it. Now, wait a minute, Brooke, that don't make sense. They don't have nothing to eat out there. And Jesus tells them to do something. Now, notice this. But this is the same Jesus that they had just witnessed not very long ago take a demon-possessed man, cast all the demons out of this man. The same Jesus they saw who healed this girl that was dead. The same Jesus that touched his garment and she was healed. And they had the nerve enough to say, Jesus, we need to send them home. I don't know. It just sounds like to me they were more concerned about themselves than they were about the people. But maybe if they were really concerned about the people knowing that Jesus could do all that he's already done, didn't it seem like they would say, Jesus, can't you do, I know you healed the man, you healed the, can't we do something? Jesus turned it on him. It's like Jesus when he said, you feed them something to eat. It's like Jesus was saying to them, oh ye of little, don't you care about the people? You really that concerned about it? Do something. And I say to any disciple of Christ, I'm trying to grow in this area. And I know some of us, our minds are already, but you can't do everything. You can't help everybody. And you know, some things people have to do for them. We know that. We know that we can't do everything. But when some opportunities present themselves, we as disciples, we must do something. We have the mindset of being a do something people, a do something church, a do something. I don't want to put a guilt trip on anybody, but I have been so impressed with so many people since this storm has come that just say, listen, we want to do something. We want to help, and so many have showed their love. And then I think about my own personal responsibility. Our house didn't get no water, thank the Lord, no water got close, but it didn't get in the house, and our lights went out for a few minutes, and you know, we ate like just fat pigs in the house for 4 days. But then we got calls about so many in the body who have been affected, and it just urges you to want to do something as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I hope any disciple would see, because, you know, we all talk a good talk, and we all know all the, some of us have watched every, some of us have 3 news channels on our TV, and we know everything. It's flooding over. We know all the news. But all we do when people need help is, that's a shame. Y'all need to do something. Oh, let's read the rest of the text. I'm going to end on time. Read the rest of the text. And they said, you see there, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men, not including the women and children. Go to Mark's account. Verse 35. When it had already been quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and is already quite late. That's why you get a sense of their mindset. Jesus is real late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding cities, countryside, and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend, notice this, that's why I wanted to read both accounts. Shall we go and spend 200 denaro on bread and give them something? Yo, Jesus, you want us to spend our own money? We got to eat also. Didn't the Bible say it's more blessed to? Oh, you know that scripture too? Yeah, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, what you trying to teach us, Jesus? He says, he said to them, how many loaves do you have, Mark's account? How many loaves do you have? Go look. And they found out that they said 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Now, most of us have something that we can do. And we look at it, and it doesn't look like a lot. But I found a lot of people don't need a whole lot. Many times, many people don't need as much as we think. You know, you remember when the Franklin Church came here a few weeks ago, Franklin Church of Christ, and they fed us. Yeah, they fed us and many of our community members, and they had to have fed over 1,500 people that Sunday. 1,500 people. Did I put a picture? You say it's coming. Picture of the Franklin. That's not the one. That's not. Oh, is it? No, that's, you got the wrong one. There we go. That's some of the Franklin members. They were feeding us. And what did they feed us? I doubt. Chili dog. I know some of y'all were complaining. Hot dogs on a Sunday. I tell you what, a whole lot of you wouldn't know, because I saw you eating. I'm not a hot dog man, but I ate some hot dogs that day. Amen. Were you appreciative of those hot dogs? Amen. I know some of you, and that's the Franklin Church. Wasn't that kind of them? I was so struck. They call Sister Sharika. She knows her dad knows. And they said, listen, we want to do something. We want to come feed the whole. She said, you sure y'all want to do it? Yes. It's like they said, we want to do something. They're what, 2-3 hours away, 2.5 hours away? But they were watching and watching and watching. And I talked to the preacher and I talked to one of the other brothers. They said, you know what, we got to do something. And so, you know, when you make up your mind you're going to do something, you'll do something. And not only did they do this, they gave money. They've helped individuals in our body. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but I think it's a great opportunity for us to see where this comes. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but I came to service. It's one of the greatest demonstrations of the disciples that we can do is our service. Serving others, meeting other people's needs. And we get this example. Jesus stops. They have been performing miracles. They have been preaching and teaching. They are tired. And this great opportunity with these great crowds. And we you know, many of you, most of us know here that this past few weeks, we have been serving. Bless you, members of this body. And we serve in different ways. Some of us can't stand up a long time. So many of you have brought clothes, you brought items, you brought all kinds of things. Many of you come in folded clothes and serve people and gave people things. These are works of God, church. This is the heart and soul. Because, listen, All those people, these individuals we would have never met had not been for this storm. And this big crowd of people, they are coming here because they have a need, a physical need that we are meeting right now, and all these crowds, and when the crowds come, it's a great opportunity. Jesus recognizes it here, and he says, and I love it. That's what we're trying to model as disciples. Jesus, it wasn't chaotic. He says, listen, sit the people down. Sit them down in 50s. We don't want nobody running over anybody. Let's have some order. And that's what we try to do. We have one of the compliments that we're getting from many of our community members, men, and not just from our community, one of the compliments is, I love that you all are organized. And you're nice to people, and our greeters, they're in the lines, and how you doing? Welcome to the Field Wall Church of Christ. Shaking their hands and not being mean. Now, all of the items. We got another truck in on this past Friday. The brothers came and unloaded that truck. Praise the Lord for the brothers. Amen. Some of them was old brothers. Well, older brothers. I'm sorry. And notice this. And I know sometimes, you know, when people come, we got to treat them with respect. Treat them with dignity, kindness. You know, sometimes people going to try to come in and they'll, you know, they'll come in too. Some of them say, well, that person been here twice. Yeah, well, we can't catch everybody. And then you didn't pay for nothing anyway. Amen, somebody. All of that stuff was donated by somebody. And so we're not trying to hoard anything. We're just trying to help folks. And we put the love of Christ on. Some things God have to work out. And so your attitudes, and I'm watching this, and I'm seeing the compassion. All 5,000 people. It's like Jesus says to his disciples, hold up, sell down. Give me what you have. Give me what you have. And watch the power. Notice this. We are a large church, but we have a limited budget. We can't help everybody that come here all the time. With our means, but guess who can? If we take it to God, what we have, God can work with. And it's like God is opening doors. People in the churches are sending us funds. The trucks are coming, and we have not been stretched because God is so good. Jesus is demonstrating. Listen, go see what you have. Notice this, and bring it to me. So we go to God in prayer, and we pray in for, you know, individuals have lost refrigerators and furniture. And notice this, church, our budget is not big enough to go buy everybody furniture and refrigerators that have been affected. But you know what? God is good. And God bless us and other individuals that care. If we have faith, God will give the increase. And he's providing, and he's making a way for us to do things. And I see his heart as he's talking. He said, look here, look, son, give me what you have, and watch and see what I do with it. Now, I want to finish this lesson as we close. Listen to this. I want to read both accounts of it in Luke's account. They did so, just as Jesus asked. They sit them down and had all of them sit down. Verse 16, then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, making sure they understand now, he blessed them and broke them, the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. Lord, thank you for this bread. Thank you for this fish. And listen to what this said. And kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And I know as a kid, I heard this passage, and I didn't know how Jesus did it, but I say, well, he just had to, how did he multiply? But it seems like that Jesus, he prayed to the Father, he blessed them, and the disciples came and got the baskets. And he blessed, they kept coming back to get the, they just kept multiplying, and they kept feeding the people. It's like they took some and they came back what was going on in their mind. Did one of them say, "Lord, what is going on? How is God doing all of this?" And that's the same thing. We were talking to the elders in a text, and I was just reporting to them some of the things that people have been calling and saying that they were doing, some of the things that they did, that they were doing. It's like, and we were just saying, well, this person needs this, and this family needs that, and we don't know exactly where it's going to come in. It's like somebody is hearing that, and they say, "Here, we got it for you." And notice this. And when you see the power of God, when you see the power of Jesus at work in his disciples, it increases your faith. It should increase all of our faith. And he just kept feeding them and kept feeding them and kept coming back. And you know, it's beautiful when people say, I love it when people say, "Thank y'all." So many, everybody don't say thank you, you know. Some folk just getting and grabbing and just, you know, God bless them, but it's beautiful how so many come. But thank y'all. So this is y'all beautiful. Oh, thank you. Y'all just a blessing to the community. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I say, just thank God. Yeah. And I love the Savior that we serve. I love Jesus and his great, wonderful example. Now, he's training his disciples. He's training them on the attitudes they must have when it comes to dealing with people. Remember, this is the latter part of the day. In the latter part of this text, it says, they all ate, were satisfied. They picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Listen to Luke's account. He blessed them and broke it and kept giving it to the disciples and said, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they left were picked up 12 baskets full. In John chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus said, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. That was after he washed the disciples' feet. But Jesus, if he washed the disciples' feet, showing them the attitude they are to have when it comes to serving. And then James said in James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive or who delude themselves. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have the truth. We have the word of God. But we deceive ourselves if we think that we're going to preach a sermon and not demonstrate to the world who we really are. And so I want to challenge you as I challenge myself, as we grow in grace and grow in knowledge and grow in our discipleship as we try to live better lives for God. I want to challenge everybody. Notice this. I mean every disciple. Now, you may not be a deacon. You may not be an elder. You may not be a preacher, a minister, or a song leader, or whatever, these guys that are out front. But if you are a child of God, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have a pretty good reputation. And yes, we do many wonderful works. But we can do greater works for God. Now, if every disciple, every person that's baptized, I'm trying to figure out what I could. Oh, yes, think about it. Think of how think of how you as an individual can do something for God. Now let's talk about it. Or we don't have to talk about it. You just do it. Amen. You don't have to go with the group to go visit the sick. Amen, somebody. We visit the sick on Thursday. You don't have to just wait on them to go. There's a list in the bulletin every single week. And you don't have to just go. You can call. Hey, listen, if you got money in the bank, spend some of your money on somebody else beside ourselves. Amen. That works all the time, don't it, church? That's all of us can do something for God. Amen. You're here and you're not a disciple of Christ. You need to be. I tell you what, it's the best life. It's the best. I'm telling you, we working for the Lord. Sometimes you do get tired. You do get tired. We're all human. And you do want to rest. And I know that many times that we probably need to rest. When, But when an urgent need needs to be met, sometimes you have to do it even when you're tired. Sometimes you do. It just works like that. And don't be afraid to do, because our reward is great in heaven. Not that our works are going to get us a reward, but God is good, and he blesses his servants who are out laboring in the vineyard. He does. You hear, you're not a child of God. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins, God will add you to his body. Body that's a beautiful body, the one church you can read about in the Bible. The saints that work together, the saints that love one another and take care of one another. I do pray this, though, as the body, and you have to help us with this one, is the Bible says we're to do good to all men, but especially to those that are of the household of faith. If there is a need that's not being met and you're a member of this body, you need to make it known to the elders. Don't tell somebody else. Don't say, they're not doing nothing. We can't do nothing if we don't know nothing. Amen. You make it known to them. Now, we're not trying to pay for luxuries. Amen. Yeah, no. When cable TV is a luxury, isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. A refrigerator is a necessity. Well, most of the time it's a necessity. Yeah, I know I got to have my refrigerator. Amen, somebody. But we want to meet the needs of our saints. Yeah, need the needs of our saints. If you're here and you're not a child of God, won't you become one? If you're here and you need to pray, we need to pray. There's so many that's hurting, so many. All this is going on and dealing with lost loved ones, individuals who are sick. And let's continue to pray for the body. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cries, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When